So let's open our Bibles and take a look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. So I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, you can open it up. But this passage, or even the book of Revelation, is not meant to be read. It's actually meant to be heard. So if you want to, if it helps you, please close your eyes and just imagine what John is seeing in this heavenly throne. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it was slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they all sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So before diving into the passage that I just read, let us take a look at the verses prior. In Revelation 4, John is given a vision of the heavenly throne. He sees 24 elders and four living creatures surrounding the throne in heaven. They're all worshiping God. They're all worshiping God day and night, saying in verse 8, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now imagine this. This is such a beautiful and glorious scene that John is seeing in his vision. God is given ultimate glory, honor, and praise. However, in Revelation 5, John's attitude changes as he sees the scroll, and that is sealed with seven seals. The scroll that contains God's sovereign plan and will for humanity and creation is sealed and cannot be opened. Then in verse 2, the mighty angel shouts, "Who is worthy to break the scroll and break the seals and open the scroll?" John mentions that no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth can open the scroll or even take a look inside. John sees a major problem in heaven, like coffee stain on a white shirt. Well, the first thing I have said in my mind, of course, "Joe, John, why are you so upset? It's God. There's the living creatures. Everyone's worshiping God. Isn't this what you were expecting?" But the more I started realizing, there is something that John knows and John sees that I cannot see. It doesn't matter how many other things are around him, but that one thing that he finds important is not there. John weeps and weeps because everything is not the way he expected. No one is worthy to take the scroll and reveal the contents inside of it. God's sovereign plan for humanity will remain closed and inactive. In verse 5, the elder says, "Do not weep. See, the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals." But wait. So the elder says, the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. But what does John see? He sees a slain lamb. Wait. Did the elder get it wrong? The elder claims a messianic title of Christ with the strong and powerful image of a lion. But here in Revelation 5, verse 6, Christ is portrayed as a weak and vulnerable lamb that is slain. The lamb who took upon the sins of the world and died on the cross is now standing triumphantly at the center of the throne. He then takes the scroll from the right hand of God, and all creatures and elders fall prostrate before the Lamb. He is worthy to take the scroll and reveal the destiny of humanity. Christ has the authority to rule over humanity's destiny. This is echoed in Matthew 28:18, when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Also in Psalms 8-6. Oh, I forgot. I have a PowerPoint for this. Psalms 8, verse 6, you had made him a ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet. Jesus now has a scroll which contains God's plan and will for humanity and in his hands, and there are three important points that we can understand about Christ through the heavenly throne scene. The first point is that Jesus has authority to rule over human's destiny because he's the only one that's worthy to take the scroll. The Lamb has victory over death and is exercising his sovereignty by standing boldly as he approaches the throne of God. Jesus is executing the plans of God that he has for humanity. He brings justice to the righteous and brings judgment to the wicked. The plan of redemption is initiated, and that God will make right every wrong on the earth. Well, when we think about it, when Jesus has authority over us, I think it sounds scary. We are in a generation of independence and free will, hoping that no one has authority over us. We don't want anyone to be the boss of us or over our lives. We want to have authority over our own lives. However, little do we know that as we take authority over our lives, sin takes over. So this week, I had a privilege to talk to a very young, talented lady, and she was worried about her pride that was fueling her music and ministry. She took control and stopped herself from continuing this ministry is because she's worried that she'll fall into more pride that is displeasing to God. Well, with my observation of her character, I don't see pride in her at all. All I see are misconceptions that Satan has planted in her mind to stop her from worshiping God with her talents. We are deceived by the evil one, thinking that we have control over the things around our lives. And little do we know that it is shaping our minds, our hearts, and our being into something apart that God has intended. He uses our fears and misconceptions of ourselves to take authority over our lives and preventing us from being the person that God created us to be. He does not want us to worship God by being ourselves. Now, this young lady saw the false misconceptions of Satan that has planted in her mind, and now as she is pursuing music as her ministry by allowing Jesus to be authority over her life. Jesus rules with authority, knowing what is the best for us, and that so that we can be pleasing in the eyes of God. Secondly, Jesus rules with power to rule over humanity. The power that is ascribed to the Lamb with seven horns is seen in verse 6, is a biblical symbol for the completeness and fullness of power. Christ has the fullness of power to defeat his enemies by bringing judgment, not only the unrighteous, but also to all destructive forces of evil. Moreover, the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits, represents the all-knowing power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that manifests with us and in us allows no wickedness to escape from his divine wisdom and judgment. And in his second coming, he comes to deal with his enemies and fulfill his promises to the faithful with his power. Well, in my homeless ministry back in Hong Kong, I've experienced the power of Christ while serving. Every Tuesday before I head to my ministry, at a certain time, I would get headaches and dizziness. When I first got them, I thought, well, I'm not feeling too well. I better go home. But when I prayed the power of Christ's name, the headaches and dizziness would go away. I knew Satan would use this to prevent me from going to my ministry. Every Thursday, when we headed to Yau Ma Tei Underpass, our main mission is to pray Christ's power in the area, because we know Satan uses addicts' vulnerability and trap them into a cycle of addiction. Coming back, I can see a spiritual warfare in our North American culture, and it is in our minds. We make a lot of assumptions, misconceptions, that take us away from the truth and prevent us from knowing who God is and who we are. Satan uses his powers to steal our passions, to kill our joys, and to destroy the person that God created us to be. He plants guilt and shame into our lives to prevent us from doing what is right in God's eyes. Brothers and sisters, Let us stop him from tempting us by declaring Christ's power in our lives. If Satan says that you belong to him, you declare the power of Christ in your life and remind him of who is your boss. If Satan uses guilt or shame from your past to stop you from being who you are, use the book of Revelation to remind him of his future and who is his boss. We know that Jesus rules with power. And thirdly, Jesus has a relationship with God and relationship with us to rule over humanity. Christ and his humanity demonstrate the complete obedience to the Father's will by dying on the cross. The love demonstrated through the blood of the Lamb reflects the love of the God, the Father. The heavenly throne scene shows that God, the Father, delights in his Son by sharing in honor, glory, and praise. Jesus also has a relationship with us, which makes him worthy to rule over human destiny. Jesus listens to our prayers, which is shown in verse 8, through the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Moreover, what he did on the cross has made us to be a part of the kingdom that Christ will establish in heaven. Moreover, we will also reign with Christ on earth, and we will also share in his glory. In Romans 8, verse 17, it says, "Now, we are children, and when we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory." Jesus' love for God and for his people is demonstrated throughout his life on earth and now in heaven. Well, this is a question for all of you. As Christians, how are we to respond to this love that Christ has for us? Are we willing to give him all authority and power over our lives? We know that Jesus has authority and power and relationship to rule over human destiny. This is reflected in the crescendo of praise as the worship of the Lamb increased to multitudes and multitudes of angels and all creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea. All creation worships the Lamb of God. How are we responding to Christ's love for us in our lives and in our worship? Are we giving Christ the worship that he deserves? Well, I believe all of us are thinking, no, but I should. Well, I don't want to be a Pharisee in telling you what you should do and what you're not doing well or things like that, because I will become a hypocrite and it's not fair, you see? Don't let shame and guilt push you from doing things that Christians should do, but rather we should learn to be. I encourage you to allow Jesus to pull you into his scriptures. And in Hebrews 10, 20, verse 22 to 23, it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Spend time talking to him to allow what you know descend into your heart. My favorite writer, Henry Nouwen, right, Pastor Henry Nouwen, mentions in his book on prayer, it's called The Way of the Heart. And this is one of my favorite quotes. There's more of my favorite quotes in his book. But this is one that I've spent a lot of time just to pray, and the reason why I need to pray. To pray is to descend with the mind into the heart, and there to stand before the face of the Lord, ever-present, all-seeing, within you. Praying helps us internalize the things we know about him and experiencing him within our hearts. Let us worship God and reflect to see Jesus, that rules with authority, power, and relationship. As before we respond, I want you to take time right now, spend a couple minutes in silence, and just to reflect this scene that John sees and how Jesus is in your life. Does Jesus have authority over your life? Is he ruling the inner being of who you are? He's not wanting to be in control and take you into tyranny. He doesn't want that. But he rules with love and knowing that he knows what's the best for us and what is pleasing in God's eyes. So let's take our time just to pray in silence. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you, for you are worthy to take the scroll, to take the scroll to reveal God's plans for humanity, because we know in Revelation 22 and 23 that there will be a new Jerusalem, a new heavens and new earth, and that is the plan and your will, and you want us, your children, to be co-heirs and heirs of this kingdom, and together we can glorify you. Lord, can you just be in our hearts, allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, for us to know that we cannot live this life without you. And Lord, may we just continue to live a pleasing life according to God's will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.